With the spring game just now a few days away for Baylor, what are the keys to not just a successful spring game, but early signs of success for next season? Paul Catalina of 365 Sports and Sikkim365.com joins the show. This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, Drake Toll here, joined today by Paul Catalina of Sikkim365.com and 365 Sports on YouTube. Thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. And Paul, where I want to start with Baylor's spring game coming up this weekend. I remember being in McLean last year and watching the spring game and thinking, ooh, this might not be good. In your experience, how much of a spring game actually matters when it comes to terms of how a team will be successful in the season following?
I'm trying to see. I don't want to swear on Locked On. So diddly poo. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Look, Alabama's all hot and bothered about the only people who are good in the spring game were the transfers. And, you know, Alabama's going to roll it out in September and they're going to kick everybody's butts and nobody's going to think about the spring game. You know, the spring game is for the coaches. It's not for the fans. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, have you ever been to a spring training baseball game?
Yes, it's terrible. Okay.
Yeah. So I went to a spring training baseball game when I was a kid, and I was appalled because Roger Clemens was pitching for the Red Sox, and he got shelled, and I felt ripped off, you know. And I went. I grew up in Fort Myers, Florida. We went to Red Sox games all the time.
Yeah.
And so, as you can see, I'm a little Red Sox obsessed. But I was mad because I went to see Roger Clemens, and he wasn't good. And I was the guy next to me. Not my dad. He was there. But I was like, this is terrible. He only pitched three innings, and I was like, that was bad. And he's like, well, you know, he's only throwing one pitch this whole time. And I was like, what? So yeah, he only I'm going to throw this new split-fingered fastball for the three innings that I'm out there for these 9 outs, and that's all I'm going to throw. And so that's all he did. And so sometimes in the spring game, all you're getting is the shell. Like, it's just kind of, let's see how this goes. Now, I did take some things away from the spring game last year that absolutely held to be true and played out during the season, but I wasn't worried like, oh, man, this isn't going to be good because I don't think that this you can put much on a glorified practice.
Yeah. Paul, this year's spring game, I know a lot of people around the Baylor circle have talked about the running back battle, the secondary, wide receivers, and who's going to show out. When you think about the keys to a successful spring game, or really the culmination of spring practice, looking at Baylor's team individually, what do you need to see Saturday to at least have the inkling of, okay, here's a question I had that Baylor answered in this scrimmage?
I would say, and I'm not going to go in order, I'm going to say the most important one for last. I would like to see the secondary, like what that configuration really is, like what they're kind of leaning into as the starters, which I think we know most of them. But I just kind of want to see what they do and how that rotation works. If there's any question on who might be, you know, the other starter at cornerback across from Walcott, you can things like that, that to me is kind of little because I think they have some depth there. And look, Dave Aranda and his staff have proven out that they'll find the best guy.
Right.
So I'm not worried about it. I would like to see Tay McWilliams and Jordan Jenkins in particular. I am not in the not that I'm not. He's been very good when he's healthy, but it's only been once, Squirrel Williams. So I'm not going to ring that bell because I think it just needs to let's let this poor guy get healthy and see what happens if he can be available. But I'm very curious to see Tay McWilliams and Jordan Jenkins in this offense, like earnestly in the offense as the bell cows. I'm curious to see Josh Fleeks maybe take over that Treston Ebner role. Which is, I think, what they're trying to make him do. And I think most importantly, and the thing is, I don't know if we really will get to see it because they are so gravely injured at that position right now. I say gravely. It's not like everybody's got torn ACLs and Achilles. But as far as availability for the spring game and practices and things like that, they've got a lot of banged up wide receivers right now, which is the position on this team, which has the least amount of valuable experience. And it's not even like – three catches for 9 yards, I think, is like the total, you know, production last year of the wide receivers. You know, Drake Dabney and Ben Mims are tight ends. They scored touchdowns. We know what we're going to see from them. We know what we're probably going to see from the offensive line. We know, you know, who the left guard's probably going to be between, you know, two guesses and one. Micah Mazuka probably being the guy who's the one. But other than that, like everything else, we kind of know. Defensive line's all back. Linebacker's gone, but we know who's going to step into those roles. We know who's coming to step into the other role once he gets on campus in Josh White. So we know all these things. We do not know who Gary Bohannon, Blake Shapen, Kyron Drones, anybody else who takes a snap from center is going to throw most of their passes to. We have no idea. Like, you can guess that, like, yeah, Hal Presley. Yeah, Gavin Holmes. Yeah. Don't know. Have no idea. None of them really played that much. Monterey Baldwin had a great play in the Sugar Bowl. Wasn't a reception, though. It was a carry. You know, so all these things that are going on around the team right now, you know, the only question you have is wide receiver. Jalen Ellis, really talented, been hurt. You know, Jackson left the team. He left the team. So, you know, he's moved on, and that's fine. You know, so where do they do? So I think the answer to all this stuff I've said is transfer portal. I think you're going to see at least one person from the transfer portal be a wide receiver who has, you know, they're not probably going to be anybody, you know, that you may know, really, but they might be somebody who was the second or third target on a pretty good team that, you know, has, you know, 30 receptions in their career, you know, so.
A la Drew Estrada, you know.
Yeah, another Drew Estrada.
A FCS guy who comes in, who was solid at his position, gave his, you know, was good for where he was, comes into a Division I Big 12 champion program and plays a role, not the star guy, but plays a role. And with that, do you then look, judging by the roster that Baylor has today, do you press the red button and say, without a transfer wide receiver, this offense cannot click at the highest level? Or is the receiver position even that important in the wide zone that we saw Jeff Grimes throw out last season?
I do think that, like, I'm never gonna hit the panic button until you actually see it.
Yeah.
You know, because I do think they have talented guys, you know, Seth Jones, you know, guys like Seth, guys that are talented. They just haven't played. So we don't know, you know. No. So sometimes, you know, learn by doing, you know, throw them out there and see what happens. But right. I do think that, you know, they're not going to let it get to that point, you know, and there are going to be many options available to them, some of which we have no idea would be available to them. Some in the portal already, some that'll be in the portal after Saturday, you know. So
yeah,
I think that they'll find a way to make it work. It just is got to be kind of a concerning thing. And, you know, wide receiver's been the one position that over all this, you know, like wave of things that have happened at Baylor through, you know, Briles, Grobe, Rule, and now Aranda, they haven't really had to worry about that much. You know, yeah. They've always had guys. Now you just have a bunch of question marks, so we'll see. I mean, it's interesting to see that, like, they, you know, they walk out onto the field, and whoever, you know, if somebody catches five passes in the first game, that might be five more passes than they've ever caught in their – that anyone has ever caught in their career. You know, they might be 5-0 on the next closest guy. So it is, it's a little nerve-wracking, but I think that they'll figure it out.
Last question, spring game-wise, Paul, before we get into a conversation really about the whole of the Big 12 and the trajectory of the conference without Bob Bowlsby, when it comes to the wide receiver position and really the I don't want to say asinine nature of a spring game, but from a fan perspective, it really is. You're not going to learn that much as a fan. Is there anything that could make or break the wide receiver room on Saturday that would either sell you or buy you on this group?
If they had more injuries, like if they're, yeah, you know, if guys get seriously hurt, which I think because of the nature of that position, we're not going to see, you know, we're not going to see the full tilt, you know, you might see a lot of walk-ons play. So.
Boom. Well, Paul, like I said, want to get into a Bob Bowlsby discussion and the trajectory expansion of the Big 12 as well. But first, folks, fret not. Paul's not going anywhere. I got to tell you about Built Bar. So Built Bar, it is that time of year where we all give up on our New Year's resolution of eating right. I myself was right in that spot about 3 weeks ago before starting at Locked On Baylor and finding out what Built Bar is. Since then, I realized instead of having to eat candy, look, I got my Easter basket right here. I got like free plug to Reese's. Instead of having to eat this guy, throw it away, eat a Built Bar. Built Bar, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein, all in a candy bar style bar, whereas your real candy bars, like that guy, give you 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar. So double the calories, 26 more grams of sugar, dozens of net carbs as well. Right now, great flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, coconut, all new this month, white chocolate cookies and cream, BuiltBar.com. Go to Built.com for the Built Bars. Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off of your order. Built.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So, Paul, you know, it's been the wildest 6 months that the Big 12 has seen, maybe ever, at least in the last decade. And now you cap most of that with Bob Bowlesby. 6 months, it's been more than that. You cap all that with Bob Bowlesby dipping out, saying goodbye, leaving the conference in the middle of a massive restructuring. I'm going to cast a wide net and see what we get here. What does all of this mean for the trajectory of the Big 12 and even individually a school like Baylor, who's not bringing in, you know, the bell cow of the conference financially?
Well, I think big picture, it means that Bob Bowlesby did what he was supposed to do and he saved the conference. I think that probably took a lot out of him. It would take a lot out of me, trying to do that, and especially the way he got blindsided. So, you know, when you think about Bob Bowlesby's greatest, the commissioner of the Big 12, he's going to get high marks in some areas and very low marks in others, but he gets a passing grade. You know, he gets a passing grade as the commissioner, especially based on the history of the conference. They've had three: Dan Beebe, Chuck Ninus, and Bob. Dan Beebe was a horrible commissioner who was the lapdog of the University of Texas, so much so that, like, like you could have pasted his picture on that scene in Pulp Fiction when they find the gimp and like people be like, yeah, that's about right. I mean, that's how it goes. I mean, he was so bad. He was so, so bad at doing that. And he was the reason that the Longhorn Network happened and, you know, the A&M and like all that happened because Dan Beebe could not tell Texas no. It was basically Texas said, here's the agenda. You go out and say it. And then, you know, those other schools said, that's it. Done with you. Deuces. We're out of here. You know? Yeah. And so Bob Bowlesby at least held it together. Like, was the one who kind of let reason kind of take over a lot of these things. But at the end of the day, Oklahoma and, of course, chiefly Texas set the agenda for the conference or were the biggest reasons that things didn't happen. He said it like conference expansion didn't happen a few years ago because Oklahoma and Texas didn't want it. You know, they were like, no, we don't want it. It's not going to do anything for us. So Oklahoma and Texas were never really trying to help the league. They're trying to help themselves. Bob Bowlesby, for better or for worse, has a very holistic view of what's good for the league, what's good for college football, what's good for college athletics. Let's do that and sacrifice a little bit of our own, you know, piece of the pie if it means that everything's going to be better for everyone. But that's not really how things work in college athletics, as you know. It's kind of me. And you know, I think that he sees that's where it's going. And so I think that with everything that he did, and it's, I mean, you know, look, he's almost 70 years old too. I think he's turning 70 this year. So, you know, go fish, go play golf, like go retire and turn over what's going to be a very delicate television rights negotiation or media rights negotiation to someone who has future skin in the game that can see out that television contract, right, which he was, you know, clearly never going to do. So why not turn it over now when you've got things stable, you've got things where they need to be, and you can, you know, hand it off to somebody else and they can do this job in the next couple of years, which is going to be vitally important for the future of the conference.
So with this turnover, it feels like the expansion chapter is not closed yet, of course, because there are other schools out there where there seems to be at least mutual interest looking toward the future for adding more than just 12 teams. When you hand over that chapter to be written by someone else, How important is it then to grab somebody who knows exactly what they want and what they're doing and has the least amount of volatility possible?
Oh, I think that's the best thing about Bob Boldsby is he wasn't volatile. You know, like he was here. Yeah. Now, I think that fans may look at him as, you know, historically, like if you think back to just Jimmy Carter as the president of the United States, Jimmy Carter was the most brilliant man in the world, like a great human being. No one on either side of the aisle can tell you that Jimmy Carter is not a really good person and a really intelligent.
Yeah.
But people in both political parties didn't like him as president because he was smarter than everybody else and didn't know how to, you know, enact things that help, you know, people of normal intellect, you know, like right. Just that's how smart Jimmy Carter was. Bob Bolsey's a little bit like that. So I think that what they need is someone who can meet the fans and like the people on like everybody at every level, which Bob could meet the intellectuals at the high end of the, you know, the academic spectrum. He was there, you know, he could meet, but like, as it like went down the ladder, he just like, I don't know if he ever like really could connect with some coaches. Like they always felt that maybe he's up here and we're here because of the way they saw things. But, and I'm not saying it's just different kinds of intelligence. Like Bob is really like, I mean, he's a college professor. Like that's what he is, you know? And it's, so it's different. There's different ways of attacking things. So I think they need somebody, you know, I don't think they need Greg Sankey. I mean, there's one Greg Sankey. I don't think they need, they definitely don't need a guy like who used to be the Big Ten commissioner, Jim Delaney, who was staunchly a stick in the mud for the sake of being a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
For like, just because I'm going to do this because I can. You know, they need someone who's, to me, in the middle of George Kliavkov in the Pac-12, who is different and can see things from like a modern perspective. Now, how he is as an overall commissioner, I don't know, but he comes from a different walk of life and can see things maybe differently and how things are going. And then you need somebody like Greg Sankey who can just be an absolute pit bull for their league. So somewhere in the middle of that, and there's plenty of qualified candidates to do so. I mean, I won't pretend to have any inside knowledge as to who they're interviewing. I'm sure 100 people want that job. So, you know, there's some big names that you might hear, like Oliver Luck or someone like that. But, you know, ultimately, it doesn't need to be necessarily a big name. It needs to be someone who can swim with the big fish. And when Greg Sankey pulls some of the stuff that he does, you know, he can go, Greg, that's good for you, but here's what we're going to do.
In the way that I kind of look at it is, if the expansion of the Big 12, which again is monumental for the conference, this changes the face with four new teams and you're losing two of the biggest revenue schools in the entire league. It's like if the guy spearheading the Manhattan Project just left the Manhattan Project alone and, you know, you hired somebody different 9/12 of the way there, simplified. What are the odds this just ends up being completely catastrophic when you hand over the keys to this vehicle when it's not finished yet?
I actually don't think it will be. I think that the universities, especially when you look at presidents and ADs in the Big 12, are all pretty solid. You know, from Baylor's perspective, everybody loves Linda Livingstone. Everybody loves Mac Rhodes. They're very solid as a team. Kansas State is in lockstep with one another. I think Kansas people maybe worry about a little bit just because they kind of feel like there's, you know, some attraction to them to the Big Ten, at least as their fans do. But I mean, you look around the league, you know, Oklahoma State, you know, AD president lockstep, you know, so that I think they do, you know, especially with the four teams coming in, like they have a product that they can, a new product so that they can sell that they're all pretty excited about. BYU, you know, will certainly carry a lot of weight when it comes to the number of eyeballs you can put on something. Because they make a lot of new Mormons every single day. So, you know, it's just, there are so many different possibilities for the league. Now, yeah, not having those brands is going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough to sell it without, you know, the big, you know, huge teams that have had, you know, brand names for 100 years. But what you can sell is that the Big 12 has potential to grow out of what it is, maybe more per capita than the rest of them do. You know, Ohio State Texas, Alabama, all those brand name schools in their respective leagues are only, they're already big. Like, they can get a little bigger. The conference can get a little bigger, but, and the money's obviously going to get bigger for them. But like, is the jump going to be, you know, are they going to get a 5% jump where the Big 12 could get like a 20% jump if the schools grow? So I think that that's what you kind of have to sell is, look, this could really grow when you look at, you know, the BYU market, Orlando market, the alumni base from UCF alone is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, you could fit like four Baylor alumni bases in it. So, so those things you're adding are good things that need to be allowed to grow. And you know, the Big 12 can say, look, we're inclusive. We're about growing college football, not shrinking it. And that's what these other conferences are kind of about, shrinking it. Like, let's grow it. That's what you have to sell. So you need somebody who can sell the vision of the future, which is a little ways off, because it's going to take some time for Cincinnati to come in and people be really excited about Cincinnati, you know, nationwide.
Paul, last question for you here on that. When it comes to the Baylor perspective and Baylor fans in general, right, you're going to see a much different conference from a fan perspective in 4 years, 3 years now, when everything flips. Will the fans just generally feel a commissioner change, or do things stay remotely the same?
I think it depends on who it is. Okay. I think that one thing that the new commissioner of the league will be able to do is sell each individual team as kind of this, like, anybody could be the best team in the league. And, you know, but like, if you're Baylor right now, you have to feel good about where you are and being able to be sold by two recruits by anything else. You know, what do you think that Scott Drew, who had long-term vision, and Dave Aranda, who has very much long-term vision, why do you think Dave Aranda and Scott Drew don't leave and go anywhere? Because especially now, like, when people, you know, freaked out, like, oh, they're going to lose all the good coaches because now they're going to be in a bad league. Well, if Texas and Oklahoma are leaving, you're telling me that, like, I'm Scott Drew. I just won a national championship. I'm Dave Aranda. I just won the Big 12 championship in a Sugar Bowl. That I'm about to be one of the best teams in the league without Texas and Oklahoma in my way.
Yeah.
You know, I already have to recruit against them. Now they're in a different league and it's kind of a different thing. Shoot. You know, you want to come here and win conference titles and play, you know, and get a chance to play in what's eventually probably going to be an expanded playoff. Yeah, you can sell that. A commissioner can sell that. A commissioner can sell that about Baylor. They can sell about BYU. They can sell about Oklahoma State. Football wise, there's only one school that you could reasonably not say it about right now with long-term potential, and that's Kansas. And we don't know what they're going to do, but every other school has had good runs in football in their history. West Virginia's had some great runs. It's been a little bit, but they've had some good runs. Kansas State's had some great runs under Bill Snyder. You know, Oklahoma State, you know, just, you know, yeah, on a hair's breadth away from as close as you can get to winning the title, and probably being in the playoff if Oklahoma State wins that game as opposed to Baylor last year. So you've got a lot to sell. You know, TCU, you know, it's been a while, but, you know, like, there are things that you can sell in the Big 12 that aren't Texas and Oklahoma, that aren't Bama and A&M and Florida and Tennessee, Ohio State and Michigan, but who is? Like, everybody else is kind of the same. The ones in those leagues who are kind of the same as the teams in the Big 12 are lucky they are where they are. The Vanderbilts and Rutgers and Maryland and all that. So they're lucky they are where they are. And, you know, now the Big 12 commissioner just needs to sell this as, like, look, we have a league that at any given time could completely flip. You know, it, and that's, to me, that's pretty interesting. You're bringing in Houston. That's like the eighth largest TV market in the country.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right. Houston, who's been good in spite of being in a G5 league, bring them on. Like, see what happens when kids stay home. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of growth potential, but you have to have somebody who can sell that vision to people that have big bags of money.
Money is good. And college sports certainly require it and revolve around it. So great to know, though, for those that are worried that this is just going to implode everything, that this isn't the meteor that killed the dinosaur. Instead, this is, you know, the return of humankind. So
yes, it's new. It's the, like, it's that part of the video where the flower starts to bloom.
Right, right.
That's what I'm selling. Like, this is not like, you know, this is where the flower starts to bloom and the bee is there. Like, that's what it is.
The fish grows limbs and crawls onto land.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's evolving. And you could make a case that the Big 12 is in a better spot than the Pac-12 is right now and the ACC.
Yeah. Well, Paul, thanks for coming on. That, like, I was ready for a solid 15-minute power, like power 15 minutes, but the perspective of especially the commissioner's office and what that changes for the Big 12 to hear from you is something that not only, like, I'm sure listeners needed to hear, but that to me was calming in that this is the growth of the flower, not the asteroid.
That's how you have to do it. Now, look, the asteroid in college sports is ever coming. You know, ask some of the Pac-12 schools that don't know what their TV deal is going to be right now. And especially if the Big Ten gets the deal that everybody thinks they're going to get, like how that domino is going to affect the Pac-12, especially if the Big Ten gets their TV deal done before the Pac-12 and the Pac-12's TV deal is up. So again, asteroids fall. I mean, like this is, you know, this is like at the end of Armageddon, if they like landed and they're like, look, things are probably going to be okay for a while, but we see another one.
Yeah,
you guys got to go back up there. And now you don't have Bruce Willis.
Well, Bruce, hey, if Bob Bowlesby, we somehow circle around to Bob Bowlesby being Bruce Willis. And well, in a roundabout some kind of way, that's what I'll tag this episode.
I might have given him a little too much credit there, but he did stay on the asteroid and hit the button. I'm just saying
that Bob Bowlesby was there. That he spearheaded Bruce Willis. The comparison, I'm sure one is much more personable and nice in person than the other. I'll leave that up for. It's not Bruce Willis. Who's the guy that was in The Pacifier?
The Rock? No, Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. That guy's the worst. Not Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is fine. Vin Diesel, the worst. But now we're getting into movies, and that conversation spiral. So, yeah. Paul, thanks so much again for coming on today.
No problem.
Also, for the folks that want not just Baylor coverage, but college football and worldwide coverage, please do take time to plug all the stuff that you're a part of right now, because I know there are a lot of people out there who would love to listen.
Oh, well, look, every day, 3 to 6, Sigma 365 Radio, at 365 Sports on YouTube. We have lots of different channels, college basketball. Our main channel is mostly college football. We have a Cowboys channel now, which we need subscribers on. So if you're a Cowboys fan, please subscribe to it. You have to. Otherwise, I have to, you know, sell my beach house, and I don't want to do that.
The asteroid's coming back.
I don't have a beach house, but please subscribe to it. And it's just, yeah, so we're on every day. There's lots of videos on YouTube. Twitter, we're getting into the Instagram space a little bit, but we're not quite there yet because most of us on the I'm the youngest one on our show is 36, so or 37, so you know,
carrying the one that seems a little out of Instagram range, but it's changing still. Yeah. Slowly but surely, steadily changing. Paul, thanks again. Always a pleasure.
No problem.
Yeah. Folks, before we get you out of here, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports. The NBA playoffs are going on right now, so if you're into that, certainly you could put some, you know, fiscal items on to sports legally at betonline.net. Also, Major League Baseball as well. Great place to check out lines, sports wagering information. So you've got an online betting casino, too. You can do live betting. However you need to get your fix in sports betting, betonline.net is the place to go. Also, want to tell you about Locked On NFL Draft that is coming up. Eric Crocker and Ryan Tracy, those guys have you hooked up for all NFL Draft coverage next week at Locked On NFL Draft. So make sure to pull that up, listen wherever you get your podcasts. It is free and available there. Tomorrow's episode, as we inch closer to the spring game, continuing to analyze the running back spot, Tay McWilliams, Squirrel Williams, Quaylen Jones, those names, and who needs to rise on Saturday. Thank you again for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. This has been Locked On Baylor.